It's getting closer, right? Christmas Day is approaching. I'm excited to be with you guys today. If this is your first time to be with our church family, just know we are glad you're here. We're glad you're here to worship with us and celebrate with us what we believe to be absolutely true, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became one of us and came into this world, and we're celebrating that this whole month together. And before we jump into kind of some time in the Word today, there's several things that I got to tell you about, a whole bunch of things. So again, this is your first time, you may wonder, like, why are these people at this church dressed like this today? Well, we told people ahead of time, today is the day to wear your Christmas gear. So wear your Christmas sweaters, wear your Christmas suits. I've seen a couple of those. Wear your Christmas PJs if you want to. We welcome it all, your ugly Christmas sweaters too. And so I love seeing all the Christmas gear today. Thank you for those of you that joined in. For those of you who forgot or didn't know, it's okay. No problem. We're glad you're here this morning. I have had a couple of comments about my particular Christmas sweater, which you will notice that all of our, well, I don't know, Sam, did you wear yours today? Okay. Yep. All right. All of our staff is wearing ours. This is our official Flagstone ugly Christmas sweater. So if you see, it's the Flagstone logo, you know, right here. And then of course you got Flagstone Church, you know, printed on the back. So yeah, this is a high dollar piece of what is this garment? I don't know what this is. I don't even know what it's made of. But it's high quality, Clark. It's nice. When you came in today, maybe you didn't notice, or you might notice more when you leave today, but there are a bunch of tables in our lobby filled with a bunch of presents, and that's for the boys at the Ridgeview Group Home, which I think is now changed its name to Yellow Rock. Is that correct? I just want to say thank you to this church family for what you gave, what you donated to make that possible for those boys. We found out, you can clap for it. That's awesome. I think we bought gifts for either 12 or 14 boys. I can't remember for sure. And just found out on Friday that they just got three more boys added to the home since we got the wish list. And so we've already been sent some more wish lists. So we'll be getting some more shoppers out and getting that done and getting their presents to them before Christmas. But thank you for your generosity and helping provide a Christmas for some boys that desperately need to feel loved and to feel appreciated and to feel like somebody's thinking about them. So thank you for doing that. There's also out in our lobby a table full of snacks this morning. And you might be thinking, well, we had snacks 2 weeks ago, and last week we had a hot chocolate station. But these snacks have been all hand-cooked, hand-baked, hand-prepared by Sharon Weber. And Sharon was so thankful that a few weeks ago, so many from our church family showed up at her farm and just helped move a bunch of stuff and take care of getting it ready for her to be able to move out of it. And she just, you know, kind of felt like it was more people than she could thank. So what she chose to do was just provide our church family with a bunch of snacks, because she's good at cooking and baking and making snacks. And so those are for all of you this morning. But specifically, I just wanted, you know, she's got this out there, but I wanted to share it with you. She says, my list of Christmas blessings includes everyone in my church family. Thanks to everyone who came to my rescue at the farm. Thanks to everyone who has prayed for me over the past year. Thanks to all the little kids who picked up black walnuts in my backyard. Thanks for loving me and always lifting me up when I really need it. I just wanted to share that with you guys this morning. I'm glad she chose to share with you as well, her Christmas goodies. That's for all of our guests, all of our church family, from Sharon this morning, just to make sure to say thank you for how we helped her. So a lot of different, and then we had, you know, the Christmas shindig with the kids this morning. There's a lot of things going on in the Flagstone family today. And we'll continue to as we move closer to Christmas Day. As a matter of fact, we've got next Sunday, and Brandon may mention this at the end of worship, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it now. Next Sunday, we're asking for you to bring brand new winter hats and gloves, maybe some scarves, some hot hands, whatever that you can bring. And we're going to have this manger out in our lobby. We're going to fill the manger and all around the manger with as many of those things as we can. And we take them over to the Salvation Army just down the road and supply them with supplies to give to folks, you know, during this cold season. So I'm excited about that, too. So plan on that next Sunday. And speaking of, I know I'm going through a lot of things, but there's so much going on. And I want to make sure that you knew about this. I sent an email out to our church family earlier this week about an opportunity for us to really help some folks on days like today. I mean, the temperatures got down in the single digits last night and this morning. I don't know if you realize that or not. You know, when I was on my way to the church building today, it was 14. I don't know what it is now. But we've been given the opportunity to partner with a group called the Continuum of Care. And they've partnered with a church or two in the Fayetteville area, and they don't have a place in Benton County. They want to start having a place in Benton County for people who are homeless and have nowhere to go on especially cold nights. And we have the opportunity to allow that group to use our building. You know, on like we'll pick a temperature. It might be 20 below. It might be 15 below. Not below. Sorry, 20 degrees. That would be really cold, wouldn't it? 20 degrees, 15 degrees, something like that. And they would just be able to come, and we can set up cots in the hub and provide a meal and a safe, warm place for people to be at night, and then they take off in the morning. It won't be every single, you know, day for a certain amount of time. It's just when temperatures drop to a certain amount. There's more details to give, but we can't provide that. We can't partner with that group if we don't have enough volunteers to be a part of that. And so we need as many people who are willing to just be here along with the staff of this place, with the staff of this organization, Continuum of Care, to be here at the building to provide us a safe and warm place for people when it gets too cold. If you're even remotely interested in that, just being a volunteer for that, we'll have someone here to answer all your questions. And that's next Sunday, immediately after worship. We're going to meet in one of the classrooms right across from the coffee area. If you're just like, man, I'm just curious about that, great, show up. If you're like, I want to be a part of that, great, show up. We need you here next Sunday if you'd like to volunteer to be a part of that. So I wanted to share that with you, okay? I know there's a lot of things that have nothing, well, not a lot to do in my sermon this morning, but there was just a lot going on with our church family I wanted to make sure we all knew about. Because I love this church family. I love all the things we do, not just for each other, that's awesome enough, but for this community as well. So we just got done singing this song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I don't know that, I mean, how often do we even use that kind of vernacular? When have you looked at somebody recently and gone, hark, do you hear that? Like, that's not a word that we use very often, right? We don't even necessarily know what a herald, we know people named Herald, but what is a herald angel, or is it the angels that are heralding? What are we talking about? And yet that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, the lyrics for it were written 300 years ago. The tune is almost 200 years old, and it's become one of the most recognizable Christmas hymns of all time. You recognize the tune. Maybe you know at least some of the lyrics, some of the words. And if it's not on your Christmas playlist already, maybe it should be. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, is the Christmas playlist. But we're not talking about songs that we would put on our Spotify list or something like that. We're talking about the original Christmas playlist that we actually see in Scripture. The songs were sung during the time that Jesus was born. And so we talked a couple weeks ago about Zechariah's song, about the song that this priest named Zechariah sang when he found out that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son. They were going to name him John, and he was going to proclaim to everyone that the Messiah was here. And then we talked last week about Mary's song, that when Mary is told by the angel that she is going to give birth to a son, and they're going to call him Jesus, and he is actually going to be the Messiah. And she sang a song when that happened. So we're going to continue to talk about this playlist, this Christmas playlist this morning. But this song is found in Luke chapter 2. And so if you want to open your Bibles there, again, we won't go through every single verse, but we're going to go through part of the story here in Luke chapter 2. So when you're looking through your Bible apps or your Bibles, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books talk about the life of Jesus when he was here on this earth. And we're looking in the book of Luke in chapter 2. And just to kind of catch you up where we're going to be in the story, we got this, I've already mentioned, we got this mom, this teenage girl named Mary, who has become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit with this baby that's going to be Jesus, right? And she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. And after he gets over the shock of her being pregnant and not being his, an angel tells him, this is from God, and this is going to be the Son of God, and you're going to raise him. And he goes ahead and marries Mary, and they are now on their way to Bethlehem because there's a census being taken. They got to go to his hometown and be counted for the census. And when they get there, it's time for the baby to be born. But there's so many people in the city and probably so many family members in the house, they got nowhere to stay. And they can't find another house to stay in. They can't find an inn to stay in. And they go in a stable. They go in a barn. She gives birth to the Son of God. the creator of the universe shows up in a stable and is laid in a feeding trough. And that's how he arrives in this world. But something else happened just after the birth of Jesus that we want to focus on tonight. We want to focus on today that happened that night. Luke chapter 2. There's some shepherds, and they're out in the field. They're watching their sheep. They're making sure that nothing happens. Nobody steals them. The sheep don't wander off. That no wild animals come. And all of a sudden, there's a bright light that shines around them. And then an angel appears in the sky. And it says in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" And some of your translations might say, "He is Christ, the Lord." And this is what this angel appears in the sky. And we talked last week about how, Mary was shaken to her core when the angel appeared. And I imagine these shepherds kind of felt the same way. Because the first thing the angel says to them is, "Don't be afraid." They are quaking with fear. They are trembling. When you see an angel appear in the sky, that was not something that you see very often. And yet this angel has this message for them. And remember, we've talked about this. The people in Jesus' day, the Jewish people, had this expectation, this Messiah, this chosen one that God was going to send. And he was going to reestablish the mighty kingdom of Israel once again. He's going to be better than King David ever was, or any of the kings after him. And it was going to be a time of power for Israel, but also for peace and for a closer connection to God than they'd ever had before. And there's going to be this chosen one, this Messiah, been prophesied about for years and years and years and generation after generation. And he'd been prayed for, and they've been expecting him for hundreds and hundreds of years. And an angel appears to Zechariah and says, "Zechariah, the Messiah, the one that you pray for, the one that you've been hoping for generation after generation, he's coming, and your son is going to tell everybody that." Same angel appears to Mary and says, "The Messiah, the one that you've been praying for, the one that you've been hoping for hundreds and hundreds of years, he's coming. He's your son. You're going to give birth to the Messiah." And now we have an angel appearing to these shepherds and not saying he's coming and your son is going to proclaim his coming, and he's not saying he's coming and it's your child. Here's the new announcement from this angel. He's here. The Messiah has come, the one that we've been praying for, the one we've been hoping for, the one that we've been begging God to send. He's arrived. He's here. He's the Messiah. God's plan has been fulfilled. God has kept his promises. And then just in case these shepherds weren't for sure that this is actually real, that this actually was Messiah, the angel says, here's how you're going to know that it's actually him. You're going to go to the town of Bethlehem. You're going to find him. You're going to find this baby. Look through this small little town and find this baby. And here's how you're going to know it's him. He's going to be wrapped up in just a bunch of random cloths, and he's going to be laying in a feeding trough. That's what it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 12. "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So go find him. Go look for a newborn in a barn. That's him. That's the Messiah. I mean, this is a huge announcement. This is an amazing proclamation. The Creator has become the created. The King of the universe has stepped into our world. God has put on flesh and blood and has arrived in our world. And yet God didn't announce that over like a giant loudspeaker for the whole world to hear. And there weren't, explosions in the sky, and there weren't messages sent to all the kings and all the palaces of the earth. God peeled back the curtain of heaven and announced the arrival of his son, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, to a bunch of poor, uneducated, uncivilized shepherds, and said, "Go find him." Isn't that amazing? So that's what they did. If you go to verse 16, they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They searched for him and they found him. They found this defenseless baby wrapped in the embrace of an exhausted inexperienced teenage mom, being huddled over what I can only imagine is a scared to death dad. And in that moment, in that scene, in that stable, in that manger, they found what they desperately needed, even if they didn't realize it. They found peace. And that's what we want to sing about right now.
Silent night, oh.
It's a moment of peace and serenity, tranquility. And what I want us to see this morning for just a minute is kind of a part of the story that we skipped over. Because before the shepherds saw that baby, before they searched through the town of Bethlehem to find that stable, before they left the fields where they were watching their sheep, something significant happened. They got to witness something else. And it's found in verse 13 and 14 of Luke chapter 2. After the angel makes the announcement, the Messiah has come, it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests. I can't even fathom that what that would have looked like to these shepherds. To all of a sudden see just a chorus, just, I don't know, was it dozens, was it hundreds, was it thousands of angels in the sky? And they're singing a song. I mean, this is part of the playlist. There's a song that they're singing, and maybe it's a song that they've practiced for hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of years in heaven, knowing that Jesus was going to come, knowing that God was going to enter this world, knowing that they were going to announce and proclaim the arrival of the Son of God on this earth. And they chose to sing. And maybe this is only part of the lyrics, or maybe this is a song that they sang over and over. We just don't know. But the two things they sing about, one is, let's give glory to God. Let's give praise to him. Let's thank him. Let's honor him, because he is God, because he is above all things, because he is in all things, because he has kept his promises, because he is doing what these human beings can't do for themselves. Glory to him. Thank God for what he can do. Praise God for his power, right? But then the other part of the song is recognizing, celebrating, singing about what God is giving to this world. And what is it? Peace. I mean, of all the things that the angels could have sung about, they could have sung about forgiveness and grace and how God is going to wash our sins away through the blood of the Son that he's bringing into the world. They could have sung about acceptance, how God is going to accept everyone in the world as they are and make them into something new. They could have sung about the hope that is going to come because of this Savior entering the world. But of all the things they sang about when Jesus Christ was born in the world, they praise God for his peace. That's what they chose to sing about. And that's one of the things that we can't lose focus of when we're thinking about Jesus entering our world. We talked a few weeks ago about this thought about peace, and how sometimes we limit ourselves to thinking of peace is just the absence of conflict. I'm not fighting with someone, or it's not chaotic and stressful, and therefore, because it's quiet, we're at peace. And while that is part of it, while that has something to do with peace, when you see peace being talked about in Scripture, when you see peace being referred to by God or by his prophets or other people, that peace is not just about the absence of conflict. It's about fixing what's been broken. It's about completeness and fullness. There's something that's missing. There's a gap. There's a hole. There's a piece of my life that is missing. And God fills that. And when I'm fully complete and fully whole, I am at peace. And that is what Jesus came to provide for all of the broken marriages, for all the broken families, for all the conflict and fights between friends and coworkers and family members, for all the finances that are in shambles, for all the overwhelming debt, for all the addictions that we can't let go of, for all the habits that won't let go of us, for all the stress and the anxiety that we allow to creep into our hearts and break up our hearts and our relationships and our families and our faith. We look at the manger and we see peace. Not just quietness, fullness, completeness, repair. What was broken being restored. That's what the angels are celebrating. And that is what we desperately need. We can't provide that for ourselves like God can. We can't manufacture that for ourselves and for our relationships like God can. It is what defines who Jesus is. Hundreds of years before, when the prophet Isaiah was saying there is going to be a Messiah that's going to come, there's going to be this chosen one that God is going to send. And let me give you kind of a description of who he is by some different titles. He says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what? Peace. His kingdom, his reign, is going to be defined by how he can make us all complete and whole. His kingdom, his reign, is going to be defined by how he can repair what's broken. His kingdom, his reign, is going to be characterized by how he fills in the gaps in our lives and makes us completely who God always wanted us to be. He's the Prince of Peace. And so if you look at that song in Luke chapter 2, I mean, it's not a very long song. It's a couple of lines. It's really just one verse in your Bible. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests." I want to finish with that thought this morning. Peace on whom his favor rests. God is going to give peace to those who he chooses to favor, to give grace to. And we can look at that. We can look at that phrase and go, so wait, God is going to pick and choose who gets to experience peace? So God is going to look at us and go, okay, you get peace and you get peace and you don't get peace because, well, you get peace. I don't like you. No peace for you. Is that what God is doing? Is that what Scripture's teaching? Is that what the angels are singing and celebrating? No. There is peace to be found, and it is only for those on whom God's favor rests. But it's not because God is limiting his favor from certain people. It's the fact that certain people are choosing not to experience his favor. You see the difference? Grace, forgiveness, wholeness, completeness, peace is available for everyone, for all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter how many times we have done it. God says, I want to make you complete. I want to make you whole. I want to fix what's broken. I am ready to give you peace. But it's up to us whether or not we want to accept it. And there are some of us that, I mean, we can even believe it. We can believe there is peace to be found. We can believe the words of Scripture. We can even see how God is creating peace in the lives of other people, and we still walk away from it. And even as difficult as that is for us to even articulate, we can be honest with ourselves and recognize that we hold on to our resentment, and we hold on to our anger, and we hold on to our addictions, and we hold on to our lies, and we hold on to our lust, and we hold on to our dishonesty, and we hold on to our finances and our selfishness. And if we would just let go of those things and let God fill us with the good blessings that he wants to provide us, we would have peace. But we can't experience that peace, not because of him, because of us, because of me. Because I choose not to accept it. Folks, let's accept his peace. Let's let God repair what's broken. Let's let God heal our wounds. We can experience that peace. There was a just, you know, there's several things I'd done in my life that are just kind of dumb. There was one time when I was in college, and I'll finish with this. I was sitting at a table in the student center at college with a bunch of other people, and, you know, just a bunch of rowdy 19, 20-year-olds. And I don't remember why. I know I had a cup of hot chocolate that I just purchased. It was sitting in front of me. Didn't have a lid on it, and it was sitting right there. And we're just goofing around. I don't remember if somebody kicked the table or somebody hit it or if I really don't remember how it got set in motion. But a metal napkin holder came sliding across the table, hit that cup of hot chocolate, and the whole cup just got dumped all over me. Starting from right under my chin all the way down. And let me tell you, it was hot chocolate. Like, that hurt. And my neck was red. And I was wearing this white long sleeve t-shirt that was now brown. And I had hot chocolate in my lap. I just covered in that moment hot chocolate. And everybody that's sitting around the table, you know, the first reaction when you see something like that is what? Ooh. That's the first that I heard. And then everybody started laughing. Because it was kind of funny. I got hot chocolate spilled all over me. Except I wasn't laughing. I was mad. And for some reason, I can't even explain to you why. For some reason, as we're sitting at the table, I just sat there like this, just staring straight ahead. And I think I was just mad. Just about the whole, like it was an accident. Nobody did it on purpose. I was just mad that it happened. And I'm just sitting there. And pretty soon people were like, hey, Marshall, you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. And they're like, well, just, you know, and they're trying to hand me napkins. And like, you're going to blister up if you don't, you know, get some of that and like start dabbing and trying to get the hot chocolate. And I just sat in it. Just sat in that mess of hot chocolate. So dumb. I don't know why I thought I'm just going to sit here in it, but I did. And I would like to explain to you, maybe it was anger, maybe it was resentment, maybe I was trying to be really tough. I don't know. I just remember the moment. I remember how it felt. And I remember I just kept sitting there, like I look back on it now, I go, what were you doing? Just sitting there in that mess of hot chocolate. But then I think, you know what? I still do that. When God reveals to me that my anger is hurting me or hurting somebody else, that my grudges that I'm holding on to are really unhealthy, that this habit, this addiction that I try to pretend is not that big a deal, or I hope that nobody else finds out about it, is really becoming a problem, that my lust, that my lies, they're starting to really take over my heart and my thoughts. And whatever it is, I mean, you can fill in the blank for yourself. I find that I will still, even though I know this is hurtful, even though I know it's a problem, even though I know I should walk away from it, even though I know I should cry out to my God, please forgive me, please heal me, please take this away, please make me whole. And he will, he's ready to. And yet I just sit in it. And so this morning, folks, as we're talking about this song that the angel sang, maybe we can not just hear the words this morning, but let them sink in. If there is something in your life right now that you're just sitting in, that you keep participating in, that you keep allowing to be a problem in your life that keeps breaking you, that keeps creating gaps and holes in your life, would you be willing this morning to say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm ready to get cleaned up. I'm ready to be made whole. I'm ready to experience healing. I'm ready for that today. Because that's the kind of peace my God is ready to give you. So we're going to stand up together and we're going to sing a song together about how much we need God in our lives, about how much we need his peace. And if you're moved this morning by recognizing the things that are broken or not complete in your life, and you would like to, you're welcome to walk to the front and share that with us. And we will pray for you. We will talk with you. We will do whatever we can to help you experience that peace that God desperately wants to give you. And if it's weird to walk up in front of a bunch of people and share that this morning, then please come find me after worship. Find anybody that's wearing one of these shirts. Talk to somebody that's just sitting down the road from me and say, I need peace today. And we will talk with you. We will pray with you. We will do whatever we can to help. It's not about God not being able to give us peace. It's about us rejecting it. Let's not reject it anymore today. And if this church family can help you experience his peace, we want to. While together we stand and sing.